All right, we're going to open up with Psalm 136. Today's title is called, Hold On to Your Confidence. Okay? Psalm 136, verse 31. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. For he is good.
Amen.
When is God good?
All the time.
Oh, I didn't, that sounds wrong. When's God good?
All the time.
That's better. Hallelujah. For his mercy endures forever. Yes, it does. Now turn to 145, Psalm 145. Okay. 145, hallelujah, verses 1 through 3. I will extol you. That means lift him up as you would in honor. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. It's a good thing to bless the Lord every day. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. When are we supposed to praise him? Every day. Every day. So now if you go to Psalm 92... Well, you know, it's automatic how your seems to flow right to there because it hits right with 91 where the pages are all wrinkly from Turner so many times. Verses 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. That says it right there. To me, you could put an exclamation point right there. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. But they have a comma. And to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Verse 2. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Yeah, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Loving kindness here in the Hebrew is the word chesed. Okay, spelled C-H-E-C-E-D, but pronounced chesed. It is also translated as mercy, steadfastness. Steadfast love, loyal love, goodness. His mercy, loving kindness, steadfast love, goodness endures forever. That's a whole bunch more, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Katid. But it says we are to declare, right? We're to declare. So then, We are to be declaring his loving kindness and faithfulness morning, noon, and night. We are to be declaring his steadfast love and faithfulness every morning, noon, and night. We are to be declaring his mercy and faithfulness every morning, every noon, and every night. We are to be declaring his goodness and faithfulness morning, noon, and night. We are to be declaring chesed and imunu. Okay? That is the word for faithfulness, which is also translated as truth and truthfulness. Okay? Over our lives, over our families, over our friends. We are to be declaring that over them. That's why we've been pursuing decreeing and declaring. That's what we are doing and teaching when they do that each time. Because Scripture says in Job 22:28, you declare a thing and it will be established unto you. You declare a thing and it will be established unto you. Do you understand? That's why when we declare things, it will be established unto you. Right? And the rest of that scripture, what's it say? Something about the light will shine on your pathway. Amen. That means it'll illuminate things for you. Hallelujah. His chesed endures forever, which means to remain in existence, everlasting, unwavering, unfaltering, permanent, unchanging, unchanging. It is unchanging forever. For the Lord does not change. You hear that? For the Lord does not change. Malachi 3:6. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. How about this one? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Where are they from?
Above.
And what kind of gifts are they? And perfect. And they come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation. There's no variation or shadow of turning. James 1:17. Does not change. The same. No variation. Knowing this will build our confidence in the Lord. Now, turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, hallelujah. Jeremiah 17. Verse 5. Just to establish something right here. Says, thus says the Lord. Who?
The Lord.
The Lord. These are His words. Okay? Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. I like this.
Yes.
But, verse 7, but, God, He clarifies, saying, but, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. I like that. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. See, they will be like a tree planted in the by the water that spreads out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries. It has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. There will be no worries in times of trouble when we confidently put our trust in the Lord. With the world we're living in right now, your confidence better be in the Lord. Because when you get a confidence in Him, ain't no worries.
Amen, Pastor.
Ain't no worries when you plant it in the Lord. As we trust in the Lord, we will have abundant strength, not only for our needs, but even the needs of others. We will be like that well-watered tree, having enough strength to share as we bear fruit for the Lord. See, because it's all about Him.
Amen.
And that's right. We got to make sure that it's all about the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 30, Isaiah 30, verse 18, you don't have to turn it. It says, it is written, okay? It is written for you there in Isaiah 30, 18. Blessed are all. How many are blessed?
All.
Blessed are all who wait on the Lord. Don't get excited. Quit looking around. Keep your focus on the Lord. And wait. See, you want something right now. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Wait on the Lord. Trust Him. Trust Him. Have the confidence. Have confidence in the Lord. But how blessed, you would might ask. Well, Isaiah 40. And we're going to look to verses 29 through 31. Hey, you know what? I like, I'll go all the way up to 28. Okay, I like this. Okay. Have you not known?
Yeah.
Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. I'll take that every day. How about you? Huh? Whoo, Jesus, hallelujah. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Remember Jeremiah 17:7? Now, in Psalm 118, how are we doing, Shirley? Psalm 118, okay. Go to verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. You know what? You can say that. Say, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. Here you go, finish it. What can man do to me? Verse 7. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Yeah, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Each day, we must put our confidence in something or someone. If we are willing to trust a plane, bus, or car to get us to our destination, are we willing to trust God to guide us here on earth to our eternal destination? Thank you, Shirley. Holy Ghost was speaking. It is key, therefore, to hold on to your confession and your confidence in the Lord. It takes confidence. Now, German theologian Martin Luther once said, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. Wow. That's true. Has anyone ever dared you to do something? See, when I was young and growing up, see, I was known to try anything once. And it often ended up with many injuries and a few broken bones here and there, you know. Problem was, I had too much confidence in myself back then, okay? Yeah, I remember some of them. How about you? Yeah. I won't even get into what the youth group used to do when they did their daring thing, huh? No. Of course, Cody's Tootsie Rolls never did get eaten. Lee, I'll have to share that story with you sometime. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. But having confidence in God and His Word is the key to victory and success. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. One definition of confidence is the quality or state of being certain. Another is faith or belief that one will act in a right, proper, and effective way. So based on those definitions, we can be certain that God will act effectively according to what He says in His Word. There's a key right there, what He says in His Word. Amplified Bible, that same scripture, do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. Fearless confidence. The Greek word for confidence is parousia. P-A-R-R-H-E-S-I-A. Parousia. And it means free and fearless confidence. Cheerful courage. Boldness. Assurance. Free and fearless confidence. What is fearless confidence? Fearlessness and confidence are related. If you don't fear anything, you will naturally be confident, because a lack of confidence is primarily caused by fear of rejection, danger, the unknown, or failure. So, we could say that confidence is a byproduct of fearlessness. The Bible tells us to be strong and very courageous. And then it says, fear not. Is it not? Fear not. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Of Dean's Amplified Classic Edition. Fear not. There is nothing to fear. I like that. Fear not. There is nothing to fear. Now, who is speaking here? The Lord. That's right. The Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. For I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. Oh, what did we say earlier? Mm-hmm. For I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. This scripture definitely builds our confidence in God. We need not fear because God said in there, God said, I am with you. He said, I am your God. There is no God like him because he's the only living God. I said that. He's the only living God. We make a lot of gods, but he's the only living God that we should be serving. Hallelujah. And he said, I will give you the strength, help, and victory you need in hard and difficult times. That is what he is saying there. What a confidence builder that is for us. He will give us the strength and the help. And he says it. He says, and the victory. Why are you so worried in these times we're in? Don't worry. He tells us, don't worry. Our confidence is to be in the Lord. And that's why we have to hold on to our confidence. Hold on to it. Amen. Don't be shaken. The Bible contains many examples of people who faced obstacles, difficulties, and persecution. Each one rose up in victory because they confidently trusted in God. One of the greatest stories of that kind of confidence is of Moses and the Israelites at the Red Sea. Exodus 14. With the sea in front of them, Pharaoh's army behind them, it looked as if there was no escape for them. The people cried out in fear, and you know what they did? They started complaining. All right, you're there in Exodus 14. Verse 9. So the Egyptians pursued them. All the horses and all chariots of Pharaoh. How many horses and chariots?
All.
Oh. His horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping out at Crawford's Camp Yard, right there, just having a good old time, by the sea of Pihahiroth. Pihahiroth. That's how you say that. Pihahiroth. Before Bel Zaphon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, and we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And that came back to get those elders there. Verse 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. You know, there was 1 million people out there. And they all heard him. Man. Ted, they had one set of an amplification system that we don't know how it worked. But being there by that and having that sound travel, because they all heard him. But verse 14 says, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall keep your peace. Oh, Tim, I know you're giving a little laugh there, but listen to this. Okay? He didn't tell them to get their weapons ready or to form a battle plan. He simply said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then he added, did he not? The Lord will fight for you, and you will keep your peace. You know what keeping your peace means, Tim? It means to keep silent. Or to not say anything about something. Shut your mouth and stop your complaining. I can hear him saying, stand still, shut your mouth, and see the rescue plan of the Lord, is what he's saying to them. Hey, not to keep your peace and go, oh yeah, that's peace, man. No. Tell him, shut your mouth. Quit your whining and your complaining. Give thanks unto the Lord. In the good and in the bad time. Because he takes the bad times and turns them around and teaches through them and gets you the victory. And he gets you the victory. Who gets you the victory? God does. Now I'm sure it took a great deal of confidence for him to stand up and say this to those 1 million people that were standing there. Yeah. Stand. And don't do nothing. No. Even though they're coming, don't get excited. And you know what? They listened to him. Not many choices, right? The sea parted, and they crossed on dry land. God delivered the Israelites and completely destroyed the Egyptian army. How many chariots and horses?
All.
You see? All. Can you imagine going back and having just a little renegade, a couple of your soldiers might have survived? The ones who didn't get to the water because they were too slow? But he destroyed them all. And they weren't going to be seen again by the Israelites. The children of Israel. You see, the difference between victory and defeat was their confidence in what God had said through Moses. For us, the secret to experiencing the miraculous is found in confidently obeying what God tells us to do. What God tells us to do. What did God tell Moses to tell him? He told Moses, lift up your rod. And stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go there on dry ground. Yeah? But why do you cry to me? Tell them to go forward. Go forward. See, we are supposed to be moving forward. We're not supposed to be running in defeat. We're not supposed to be waving no white flag. Oh, no. No. We are mighty warriors through Christ who strengthens us. We are the overcomers. We're moving forward. We're advancing. And we're doing that in today. Today. Not only in our own lives, but as a country. Don't be deceived what you hear on the news. See? See, they paint their own narrative. Well, I prefer to read God's word and find the truth. And if you read the examples that are in the word, they line up with today. And the wicked will not prevail. And God will not be mocked. Mm-mm. And who's going to have the last laugh? But God. But God. Okay. King David He's another example of someone who had steadfast confidence in God. David was constantly attacked by his enemies. But he had steadfast confidence. Steadfast confidence. See, the only help that he had was his confidence in God. I mean, yeah, he had mighty men of valor around him that did remarkable things. But before David pursued or did anything, he always went to the Lord first. And when he did, he always had a victory. Don't run. Look up and pray. And then move forward. Victory is at hand. Healing is at hand.
Thank you, Lord.
I said healing is at hand.
Yes, it is.
Financial security is at hand.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You need to control your emotions? Look up.
Yes.
Look up. Take no thought saying. Sometimes that's hard, and that's when, I guess what? I got a lot of duct tape in the back that I haven't used yet. I'll be glad to give you some. Sometimes that's what it takes. That's what it takes. Yeah. Shut up with your mouth. Be still. Wait on the Lord. Your healing's there. Where? It's already been done. It's already been paid for. 2,000 years ago, his body was broken for you. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Don't look at what you are going through. Look at where you need to be. And you say, I am healed by the stripes that Jesus bore. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Well, getting back to David. See, he said, yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness. Right? Chasid. While I am here in the land of the living. See, we will see this in the land of the living. That means now, today, where we are living. David's confidence in the Lord began as a teenager when he killed a bear and a lion. And he was what? He was tending his dad's sheep. Well, that same confidence manifested itself again when he took on Goliath. Remember his brother, Eliab? What are you doing here? Hey, is there not a cause? Oh, I know why you're here. But enough got said that they took David up to see Saul. He told Saul, why are you letting this Philistine say what he's saying about our God? I'll get on there and I'll take care of him. I'll go one-on-one with him. And, you know, he just looked at him and said, you're a scrawny little runt. I tried to find out. So anyhow, he was probably between 5'5 and 5'10. That's not a big guy. That's an average-sized guy. That's like about my size. And he's going to take on a giant? That didn't deter him at all. He didn't look at the giant. He looked at his God. How big is his God? His God is a lot bigger than the giant that he was facing. And the giants that you and I face, our God is a lot bigger than that giant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So anyhow, I just kept picturing. I said, there he is, getting through that. And then he leaves. Saul said, oh, get on, do your thing. You know, the Lord's anointing, be the Lord with you. And he could see the anointing was on him. And he said, man, this kid got all kind of confidence.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's not being arrogant. He's talking about the Lord. And Saul knew a little bit about that, even though he blew it. But so David goes down there, and you figure he's going out into the battle. And they're up there. Hey, Eliab, is that your brother going down there?
Yeah, that's my brother.
What's he doing?
And they're just sitting there watching.
But then they're listening to the verbal exchange going back and forth between the giant and David, right? David basically says, you know, I'm going to kick your butt today. You're going down, dude. You hear me? You're going down. Because I'm going against you with the power of Almighty God. That's who is going to strengthen and empower me to take you down. And then he's there watching, and the two of them start running towards each other. Goliath, right? David. And he's just booging along, right? And he takes that sling out, right? And there's Goliath. He's got his spear. He's going to just harpoon his little dude, right? And he picked that sling up, puts that stone in there. Now, you figure that stone probably only about maybe an inch in diameter. I mean, I'm not talking a rock. I'm talking a stone because he had five of them in that little pouch. Yeah. But he put one in the chamber. And he went, and as he's running, and you know what? The accuracy of that little stone embedded in his forehead. Boom! Down he went. Now, can you imagine his brother and all of them up there? Oh, hey, what just happened? And then they see him going, and he says, pulls that Goliath sword and says, whoo! He made sure he wasn't getting up. He cut his head off. You know what Eliab said? Hey, that's my brother! Let's go! Changed his attitude, didn't he? Hallelujah. David, he had confidence in what God could do through him. Hallelujah. You know, he even had confidence enough, even after he did that, and then he was up there in Saul's chambers, right? And Saul tried to kill him. But see, David had enough confidence in God because he knew that God would protect him, even against Saul. Because, see, he knew something about the anointed, and he knew you didn't touch the anointed. But, see, he was also anointed. And God's protection was all over him, and he had the confidence that he would be protected. Now, how many times did he fight the Philistines? Several times, because they were the arch enemies of the Israelites. But he was always, they were battling all the time. But he had the confidence when he went into battle, and he won the battle after battle after battle. You think they would learn? No. The evil doesn't stop. It does not stop. And David believed God would be with him as he ruled over Israel. And the end result of David's confidence was victory and success. And it said, no enemy ruled over David. No enemy ruled over David. This is what complete confidence will do for believers. No enemy will rule over us. Confidence. Hold on to your confidence in the Lord. What are believers? What's the song say? Believers are mountain movers, water walkers, more than just overcomers. Right. Believers are gospel preachers. Hearts on fire, freedom singing testifiers who won't be quiet. Because believers have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. Like David, believers need the same kind of confidence in God. We must quit allowing Satan to rule over our lives. Satan has no authority. The only authority he has is what you give to him. Don't give him no authority. Is it that simple? Yes. Because that's what the Word of God says. Jesus took all authority from him and gave it to us.
Amen.
Don't relinquish the authority you have over Satan. Don't let him rule over your life, hallelujah, or your children's life, or your grandchildren, hallelujah. People exhibit confidence all the time, whether they realize it or not. When they go to sit down in a chair, they expect it to hold them up. Do they not?
Yeah.
Well, Christians should exercise the same confidence, if not more, when it comes to the Word of God. Yeah. What did we learn in Hebrews 10:35? We saw that confident trust in the Lord brings great reward. And in Jeremiah, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. To be rewarded and blessed, however, we must do what God's Word says. Maybe you didn't hear that. To be rewarded and blessed, however, we must do what God says. You want to be blessed in your finances? Learn to tithe. Learn about giving offerings. And as Shirley made an example about waiting in line. You're waiting in line and the person in front of you is scrambling through their things and they're frantic and realize they don't have their card to pay. And you can see they're not poor. But it was just that they didn't know where their card was. And they're trying to call their husband and you're sitting. So you're in that line. What do you do? Reach in, you take out your card, and you go, "Be blessed, my dear." Let them cash, get them, and you start. Then you go next, and they're all looking at you, and then the next person behind you, they're all going, "Did he just do that?" Now the line's moving. That's how easy you can render that situation. I can't do that. I can't afford to. No. You will be blessed when you do that. Those kind of opportunities don't come by all the time. And when they do, God expects us to move. He will reward us. You cannot outgive God. God paves streets with gold. Here we use blacktop and any other byproduct they can roll together to put on a road. Hallelujah. Some people begin to lose their confidence, though, in God's Word, because something didn't happen the way they thought it should. Some people begin to lose their confidence in God's Word because something didn't happen the way they thought it should. Tim, Jeremiah 29:11. Look it up. Right now, in the NIV. Okay? Come up here and grab the mic. I want you to read that. I want you to read that. Come on, get them fingers going. I'm going to see how fast you can get that on there. You're sitting here all the time and going with that. Get him on the hand, Mike. Okay.
Jeremiah
29:11.
Okay. And which verse
did you say? NIV. Your that was your Bible that you went to all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Come on. Okay. Now, I want you to read this.
Yes,
sir. You tell me when you got it.
All right.
Boy, are you having such a hard time with that? I thought
you
were.
Just like,
I'm going to get Joey up and show you that. Now, wait a minute. Now, when you read that, you think about Flora Grace and what you're going through. Think about this. You think about your granddaughter. Go ahead and read that now.
Jeremiah 29:11 NIV. For I know the plans I have for you.
For who?
For you, for me.
For Flora Grace.
For Flora Grace.
You say it as you're saying it for Flora Grace right now.
For I know the plans I have for you, Flora Grace, says the Eternal. Plans for peace, not evil, to give Flora Grace a future and hope. Never forget that at that time, this is 12 now, Flora Grace will call out to me, for me, and I will hear her. Flora Grace will pray, and I will listen. Yeah.
Mm. That's not in my notes, brother. That's Holy Ghost. I'm just telling you. You don't know how blessed you are right now. After that story that your wife shared with me, she is the smartest little thing.
Yeah.
She is smarter. And you think that what she's going through is going to hold her back?
No.
She's moving forward, brother. Whether you're going with her or not, she's going forward. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
That's because you got the saints, the prayers going up.
Amen.
For her, for you,
yeah.
For Jenna,
yeah.
For Chris, for Lisa.
Yeah.
You're not in this alone.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says when we ask anything that pleases the Lord, we can be confident He will answer our prayers. Okay? 1 John. 1 John 5. Verses 14 and 15. Here you go, Tim. And we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him.
Yeah.
What pleases Him is when we ask according to His will, which is His word. And since we know He hears us, when we make our requests, we also know that He will give us what we asked for. Sealed it, brother. Done deal.
Amen.
Any of you going through this thing, done deal. We should never doubt God or say, well, if it doesn't work, you don't go in if it doesn't work. It will work. Get your confidence built up in the Lord. The Word says God hears us when we pray. And He has promised to answer. Therefore, we can confidently believe. Confidence in God makes all things possible. Having confidence means we believe whether we can see it, feel it, touch it, or taste it. When we put our trust in God based on His Word, an assurance will raise up in our hearts, our thinking will switch from believing something might happen to knowing it will happen simply because God said it.
That's right. Now,
Kenneth Hagin always said this, and I'll end with it. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. We need to confidently say that as well. So let's say that to God together. God said it, I believe it. And that settles it.
Amen.
God bless. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to...